Well, there's nothing like a crisis to highlight how Americans take care of business on a day-to-day basis. Hi, this is Scott Ott with Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, and this episode of Right Angle is brought to you by the members at BillWhittle.com. Gentlemen, I began thinking this week as we saw the TV coverage and I read a lot of stuff on the internet about how things are going in the Houston, Corpus Christi, Galveston area, down around Rockport and all those little towns whose names you've never heard of until this week. And I was fascinated to think of the multi-level response that we're seeing from the federal government, the state government, the county and city governments, from nonprofit organizations and ministries that are not technically controlled by any government, all the way down to the individual and the family level. And we've seen a couple of controversies, not too much really in this kind of disaster, at least not so far, but we've seen a couple of little controversies spring up that had to do with, you know, one level sort of stepping on the toes of another level. And I began to think, is it possible or even desirable for us to have a more coordinated approach to disaster response? And let me give you an example. Since the last big thing that was a big national story, since Hurricane Katrina that hit New Orleans and the Gulf Coast around Mississippi and Louisiana, we have had this phenomenon happen of social media. And as a result of social media, what we're finding is that the response times that are possible to rescue people have been massively shortened. Because, for example, a 911 call center has a finite number of resources and incoming lines. It has a finite number of resources and people who can respond. And it has a finite number of resources in first responders that it can dispatch. But social media, Twitter, for example, you put out the call and you tap into an almost infinite number of resources as people retweet that and amp it up and be able to get people rescued who otherwise would have waited for countless hours or even days to get rescued before. So there's that, Bill mentioned in one of our other episodes this week, there's that idea of the individuals like in the Cajun Navy responding to things. But there's clearly a role for the federal government, for the state government, for the local county and city governments. So, Bill Whittle, what are we seeing, do you think, so far in this crisis? What are you seeing that is not illustrative? I'm really looking for what is a good lesson to be learned here about how to approach disaster response coordination?
One of the things that Houston seems to be showing me is that you don't really need coordination, at least not in the very early stages. In terms of getting people out of danger, what we've seen in Houston is citizens just stepping forward. And as we mentioned in the other episode, Scotty, you saw, or there was a reports of just a line of trucks pulling little boats towards the flood area and people just getting out there to do what they need to do. So if I had to pick a quality for an actual relief effort by the part of the government or whoever, my two requirements would be flexibility and lack of ego. Flexibility because the situation changes constantly. And because of social media, chances are very good that there will be people on the scene already who are rendering some kind of assistance and need more assistance or that kind of thing. So flexibility and not saying, well, this is where the worst areas are hit. Just stay with the game and see how the game changes. And to me, there's nothing more tragic than, and I don't think it's cost us very much, at least not in this one, but the idea that somebody's going to be stuck on their roof or lose their family because the federal government and the state government and the county government are having a war over whose jurisdiction this is disgraceful. There should be perhaps, I don't know, as I say, I think these things self-organize, but the idea of like a disinterested party who is like the czar, the disaster czar, who is going to have the authority to say, Army goes here, National Guard goes there, this goes here, and we'll see how it plays out in 5 hours. These turf war things are appalling under any circumstances. They're appalling in the military when it happens. We've gotten a lot better about that. Yeah, I would say that's a big, big part of it. It's about the people, you know. It's not about you, your agency, your funding, your budget, nothing. There are people out there in real distress, and some of them are dying, and you better put that stuff aside and get to them as fast as you can.
About the closest thing we've seen to any kind of a controversy spring up during this has been what is a very small controversy, which was basically when Governor Greg Abbott encouraged people who were in the path of the oncoming storm to evacuate if they could. But the mayor of Houston had already encouraged people to shelter in place. Now, both people had good reasons for saying that. The governor was basically saying, hey, get out of harm's way. But Hurricane Rita back in 2005, when an evacuation order was given, led to huge traffic jams and literally people dying in overheating cars. In one situation, a bus that was fleeing the, you know, with flood refugees burst into flames and 24 people were killed aboard that. So something like I saw a number that was around 100 people died, and about 60 of those died in the effort to flee, not necessarily from the flood itself or from the hurricane itself. So, you know, that it's interesting because both, I didn't see a political motivation there among either side. I think both sides had a good reason for saying what they were saying. And ultimately, I think a non-ordered evacuation was in order. Now, Stephen Green, if you get what I mean by that, how far should government go in telling people what to do in these situations, or should it be more of just a broker of information?
I really prefer the broker role. You know, this a natural disaster is so chaotic. Really, it's the closest thing to war that I would hope almost any civilian should have to experience. And you go to I think it was a Clausewitz maxim that no plan survives first contact with the enemy. It's true, and it's witty, but it's also a little cynical. Eisenhower had, I think, a more positive version of that. He said, "I found plans to be useless, but planning to be essential." And for something like this, where you've got overlapping authority, where you've got everything from the Cajun Navy to FEMA and everything in between, all trying to do their best, this ability for Americans to self-organize, to plan very, very quickly and efficiently, really comes into play here. And I really think that, you know, so far, God willing and knock on wood, the Texans are really making themselves proud on this one. It's been a horrible thing. But as you say, we've hardly seen any controversy. And I think the big reason for that is the fact that, yes, toes get stepped on. But we're also not having Jesse Jackson come down as he did during Katrina to tell people. And I don't know if you're aware of this story, but I talked with Michael Brown, you know, the ex FEMA undersecretary, told me this story about Jesse Jackson saying that Michael Brown was having cruise ships come up to rescue people from New Orleans, and Jesse Jackson refused the aid because my people wouldn't feel comfortable on cruise ships. So we're not experiencing that kind of thing going around this time. I think we've learned a lot. Glenn Reynolds wrote something, I think this was just yesterday, that's instructive, talking about the difference between Katrina and today. He said, the real difference isn't citizens getting involved. It's the willingness of responsible officials to see that involvement as a plus rather than as a potential problem. I think the excellent record of civilian volunteer responders in the post-9/11 record is behind that willingness. I think a lot of that got forgotten in Katrina for political reasons, and we're remembering that now, much to our credit. When I say our, I really mean to the credit of the people of Texas.
And I think that's what you're seeing in this situation. I think it's a recognition on the part of even the government officials, regardless of party, that they can't control an event like this. And the best they can do is marshal their resources. I'm going to watch a speech this morning by the mayor of Dallas, who is actually, you know, Dallas and Fort Worth have already set up evacuation centers where people can come and find a cot and food and clothing and stuff like that on their way out of there. I think, you know, you hear the change in attitude when a policeman, a police chief gets on TV and basically says, we're trying to get to you as fast as we can. Hang in there. But if you got a boat, come and help us. If you got a big dump truck, come and help us. Like, they're calling on the public. Instead of saying to the public, relax, everything's going to be fine, we're in control, they're basically saying believe it or not, Craig Fugit, who is an Obama-era FEMA administrator, said, you can't plan for something that's never happened. You know, you can't plan for an 800-year flood. And so, to a certain extent, you get yourself in readiness, you prepare for a variety of scenarios, you stage at the fringes of the area that you expect to be hit by disaster. But then you need to maintain that sort of loose control that basically says we're going to dispatch the National Guard as need be, but we've got to keep our head up as far as what that need is. I've frankly been very impressed, not just because I'm now, you know, bragging that I'm a native Texan after a mere 3.5 years here, but I've been really impressed by the Republican governor and the Republican president both working together and saying there's a very important role for government in these kinds of situations because it does cut across boundaries in many ways. And I've been very impressed by people not only from Texas but from other states who've come to help in this time of need. You know, there's a great country music song by a guy named, I believe it's Rodney Atkins, and it's called the song's called It's America. And at one point he talks about watching TV and seeing a town that some big twister had torn apart. And he says, people came from miles around just to help their neighbors out. And every time I hear that line, I think, boy, isn't that the heart of it? Isn't that America? We call people from miles away our neighbors when they need us, and we'll be there for you as our resources allow and as time permits, and we know you'd do the same thing for us. So, gentlemen, I think we are, it is morning in America again, in a sense, after a disaster like this, because we come to realize not only the rugged independence that has made us a great nation, but our rugged interdependence that makes us great neighbors. For Bill Whittle, Stephen Green, and the entire Right Angle team, I'm Scott Ott. Thanks to the members at BillWhittle.com for making this possible.